Have you ever felt like you're going through life flying blind? Like you're on the edge of spiritual disaster? James chapter 4 shows you how to avoid crashing into worldliness. James warns that being a friend with the world makes you an enemy of God. He exposes the dangerous drift into selfish desires and sin. But the good news? There's a way back. James lays out a clear path for spiritual recovery, offering hope to return to God.
Some time ago, I came across a story of a pilot who was in some desperate trouble. He was flying a single-engine airplane toward a little country airport, but he was behind schedule. It was growing dark. By the time he reached that small airfield where he had planned to land, the sun had dropped below a mountain at the close of that day. It was as if somebody just suddenly turned out the lights. He couldn't make out the runway from the fields below, and he had poor lighting on his airplane, and there was no one on duty at this little country airfield. So he circled the runway for another attempt to land, but the darkness now made it even more dangerous to attempt. And for 2 hours, he flew his plane over that country airfield, hoping that lights would turn on below, but it never happened. Well, as the darkness of the night grew deeper, his situation became even more desperate. His fuel began to run out and panic overwhelmed him. Then at the most desperate moment, something wonderful happened. A man who lived near the airfield had heard the sound of that airplane engine circling again and again, and he finally realized what was happening. He ran to his car, raced over to the runway, and then, with his lights on high beam, he drove his car back and forth on that little runway to show the pilot the location and length of the airstrip. Then he parked his car at the far end of the runway and let his lights cast their illuminating beam down that runway. Well, the pilot landed the plane safely, and his life was spared. You know, I couldn't help but think of our own desperate need today to have somebody, you know, light up the runway of life, so to speak, and show us the path that leads to spiritual safety instead of spiritual catastrophe. Well, let me tell you, James does just that. He lights up the runway with the high beams of heavenly wisdom. Now, of course, James isn't just going to show us where to land. He's going to show us how to live. Well, here, James recognizes the danger every church and every Christian faces in every generation and every culture, namely, the danger of the darkness of sin clouding our vision, tempting us, confusing us, leading us off the path. So here in chapter 4, James refers to the dark, unbelieving world by the Greek term cosmos, which is simply translated world. He writes here in verse 4, "Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Well, this word cosmos refers to the ungodly, self-centered world system that is hostile toward God. People of this world, frankly, don't like God. They don't want God. They don't want to be reminded of the Word of God, even if it's just the Ten Commandments hanging somewhere in a courtroom or on a classroom wall. We can't have that at all. That's why being a friend of the world makes someone an enemy of God, because worldliness is at war with the wisdom of God. And that, beloved, is what James chapter 4 is all about. Now, James begins with the problem of worldliness that creeps into the church. He notes here in verse 1 the presence of quarrels and fights among the believers. And he says the source of it is their passions. That Greek word is hedone. We get our word hedonism from that, the teaching that pleasure is the chief good in life. Pursue pleasure. Isn't that our world today? James says that when Christians act like the world, wanting whatever pleases them, well, they're going to have a church that's filled with quarreling, arguments, and conflict. Well, James goes a little deeper now in verse 2. He says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. Now, wait a second. Can a believer commit murder? Well, David did in order to cover up his adultery. I got a letter some time ago from a man in prison, a former church leader. He wanted to avoid public divorce. He planned his wife's murder. He even got away with it. Till sometime later, he told his new wife. She secretly recorded his confession and then turned him in. Well, he was a believer, but he'd crashed in the darkness of his sin. Having exposed the worldliness that can creep into the church, well, James now offers some words for the worldly Christian. Here's how to get back to where you belong, where you ought to be. He begins with his word of hope here in verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wonderful, isn't it? Despite our sin, no matter how deep and dark, God is ever ready to forgive us and restore us and then help us overcome the world and some particular attraction. Now, with that, James begins to fire off one command after another. And these commands act like beams of light along a dark runway through life. The first one is here in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This word submit's interesting to me. It's a military term. It calls for voluntary submission to God and to his will. He's our commanding officer. Next, again here in verse 7, is the command, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, the word translated resist is a military command. It means take a stand, stand at attention, don't move. See, there's no middle ground in this warfare. We stand for God and we stand against the devil. Now, verse 8 adds to the commands, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, if God wants me closer to him, why doesn't he draw near to me? And then I'll draw near to him. Well, James is emphasizing the humble submission here of the believer. Beloved, God isn't going to pull you out of bed for devotions in the morning. He's not going to get you dressed and out the door on Sunday morning to go to church. Those are your decisions. Do you really want to draw near to him or not? Well, if you do, here's the wonderful assurance from James that God is always ready to respond. See, you'll never get out of bed to pray and wonder if it's too early for God. You'll never have to wonder if he's listening or if he cares. He's always there. Well, here are some more commands to counter worldliness. Here they are in verses 8 and 9. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. He's writing to Christians here. We need to take sin seriously and then quickly confess it and clean it out of our lives. Now, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. The picture here that they would have immediately understood is of someone falling down before an Eastern monarch, begging for mercy. And the king reaches down and lifts that person from the dust, granting his request. Likewise, when we humble ourselves before our Lord, he has a way of reaching down and picking us up and back up on our feet. Well, James now illustrates the arrogance of worldliness here in verse 13. He describes a person who says, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Well, now, don't misunderstand, beloved. There's nothing wrong with making a business plan. In fact, we should. But we need to make our plans in pencil and allow God to use an eraser. James writes in verse 14, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So if we as believers act independently of the will of God, we plan our lives without submission to Him, we replace His will with ours, we think we're in charge, well, we're going to go somewhere, we're going to start a business, and we've decided we're going to succeed because, you know, we believe in ourselves. Well, James counsels the believer here in verse 15, instead say this, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. In other words, the believer should live wisely with an understanding and an acknowledgement that God is ultimately in control. And I recommend, beloved, you use this phrase often, Lord willing. Learn to say that, Lord willing. We're going to start that business next month, Lord willing. I'm heading off to college next year, Lord willing. I'm going to get that job, Lord willing. You see, worldliness ignores God in every facet of life. Wise believers invite God into every facet of life. Invite Him to walk with you today. Well, until we set sail next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Worldliness and the Way Back. Worldliness pulls us away from God, but His grace pulls us back. The steps James gives are simple. Submit to God, resist the devil, and draw near to Christ. It's a lifelong journey, but you don't walk it alone. Let God's light guide you as you take each step. We'd love to hear how our teaching ministry has helped you grow in the faith. Do you have a story or testimony to share? If these daily lessons have encouraged you or helped you walk more wisely, let us know. We'd love to hear your experience. If you have a comment, question, or need more information, there are several ways to reach us. You can email us at info@wisdomonline.org. We're also available by phone at 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-482-4253. And our office hours are weekdays from 8:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We're eager to connect with you whichever way works best, so please get in touch today. Thanks for listening. Join us next time on The Wisdom Journey.